got started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20 and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Chicken in the morning, it's chicken in the night. Weren't for chicken, Petaluma never would have reached its height. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthfuls, smart talk about food, wine, and farming. Sometimes doggies, too. And all kinds of things that have to do with this great place we live in, what we put on our table, what we put in other places as well, including on this one really nice little table I have in my living room where I have a ceramic shoe, a red high heel. With the whole front of it is covered with little tiny skulls, you know, the Los Muertos type skulls. And I love this. And I fell in love with it at one of our local crafts fairs, Bijou. I think it was maybe 3 years ago. And it was a very wet day and very, very wet. And I fell down the stairs when I was leaving, I probably had on slick shoes. There had been some newspapers on the steps that they had gotten wet and turned to mush. And I was even being careful. I wasn't not being careful. But a foot went out from under me, and I bounced down the stairs, and I kept that red ceramic shoe in my hand. The fall loosened, I think, three of the little skulls, but it was very easy, just a little bit of glue, put them back on, and I love that shoe. I just love it. And this one day, a friend came over, and I was talking about the crafts fair that I'd just gone to, and I showed her the shoe, and she looked at me, and, you know, we don't have the same taste. She just looked at me and she said, "Michelle, that is the ugliest thing I have ever seen." And it's not. It is absolutely beautiful. And it's just an example of one of the unique things that you can find when you, if you can, avoid, you know, international stores, avoid malls, just that whole thing, and you get out and you see the things that your friends and your neighbors and other people have made, and it's just wonderful. And on that note, I'm going to welcome a full house here, Naomi. Naomi Leslie, right?
Yes, and I'm the maker of
Yes.
And you can tell your friend that I have another pair for sale. And she may, you know, that way she'll own the ugliest pair of shoes.
There we go. They're so beautiful. And she's just, I mean, there's a number of things about me she doesn't understand. She thinks I'm the weirdest person on the planet because I always say Rosemary's Baby is my favorite movie. And she just like, that she has no way to relate to that. Anyway, to each his own, but this red shoe is gorgeous, and thank you, and you're going to be part of Bijou again.
Right. This is, I think, our fifth year that we've been doing this wonderful, small, intimate group, and it gets quite a a crowd coming in, and you know, we change, new people leave, new people come, old people go.
Yeah, I see Annie Roberts isn't there this year.
No, she isn't. No, unfortunately, she's not.
Yeah. And then we have, I'm just going to go around the table, we have Abby Bard, and Abby, you do Holiday on Florence.
That's right.
Yes, and it's coming up, it's next Saturday and Sunday, right?
It's December 5th and 6th.
So that's two Saturdays and Sundays from now.
Right.
Right. And when is it? And Bijou is?
The same time.
At the same time. Yeah. You know, that makes it perfect because you can walk between the two of them.
That's right.
Which is just one of the really lovely things about it. And then we have Gary Numan, not the one who did that fabulous song about living in his car.
No. Different guy.
But and we're going to talk at length about your books, but I want to get everybody introduced first. And then we have Pat O'Connell back to Bijou.
Yes.
And we have Barbara Harris.
Hello.
Bijou.
Thank
Hello.
You, Michelle.
Thank you all so much. And I should say that for about, maybe 13 years, I have been writing about local crafts fairs. It's one of the things that I really like doing in my column, Mouthful. And one of the reasons I like doing them is, you know, I like to empower people to get out of the ordinary. I think malls are really awful places. I think they make you unhappy. And I haven't been in one for a couple months, and I won't be in one for several more months. I can't stand them during the holidays. And, you know, you think about, where does your money go? Mm. When you're going to a mall, when you're going to a multinational corporation, I mean, sometimes we have to. We don't have any homemade toilet paper. You got to go to certain stores at times for certain things. But when you think about where your money goes, you want more of it to stay, to be in your community and to empower community members. And shortly after I started writing my column, Mouthful, I started seeing more and more of these things. So since I believe 2002, I have always done sort of a crafts fair watch, starting in late November and continuing through the end of the year. As some of you may have heard, Mouthful is no more. And so I was thinking, well, how can I get the word out about these fabulous crafts fairs? I have a radio show. It even has the same name. And I thought, okay, well, this is a little bit different than what we do in Mouthful, but it still fits under the same umbrella. And so that's what we're doing. It's talking about crafts fairs. And these are just two of them. I think there was already one last, forget if it was this weekend or last week.
This coming weekend.
The Joy Road. There's one on Joy Road.
And then there's another one at the Yellow Duck Sculpture on Highway 116, a big group show.
Oh.
And that's the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday after Thanksgiving.
Oh, great. I'm going to try to find a place to at least round up the information and put it on a blog post, I guess. Mm-hmm. I can do, before I can do that at my Eat This Now blog post. The first thing I want to do, now that I've been yammering on, is I want to talk to Gary, because you're doing something that I think has really caught on the East Coast, hasn't caught fire to the degree that it's going to yet on the West Coast, but it's coloring books for adults.
Right.
And this is 32 unique and beautiful works of art for coloring. And there's been a number of reports lately that coloring is as beneficial to humans as meditation. So for all of you out there who may have felt like a failure because you can't really meditate, because your mind wanders and you get really bored and then you see like all the dust over in the corner, you can color instead, and that is right up my alley.
Right.
How did you get started in this?
Well, I've been a graphic designer and an artist for many years, and actually I came across a news story about this phenomenon back in March. There's something like 3 of the top 10 books on Amazon were, of all books, were coloring books.
For adults?
For adults.
Wow, I missed that.
And so I started thinking about it, and it occurred to me that my particular style of art would lend itself to a coloring book.
Mm-hmm.
So, and plus, because my work is more art-oriented rather than decorative, I thought it would be especially nice to make it into a book that I could share with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's lovely. It's really lovely.
Thank you.
And, I mean, I want to do a coloring book for adults. I had the whole thing. It sprung into my head. I can't talk about it because, you know, you can't do that until something, until it's going to happen. But I really want to do a coloring book. Is this your first one?
This is my first one. I'm already looking towards a volume two. Mm-hmm. I have ideas for what I want the next one to look like. My wife says that she thinks that this phenomenon is particularly good because it gets people to put down their computer and put pen to paper or mm-hmm. pencil to paper and do something that's really physical and real rather than artificial. And it sort of gets people back into being like children and mm-hmm. connect to that childlike part of themselves.
I've always loved coloring. And I always felt a little twinge of guilt sometimes if I said, "Psycho God, I've been coloring for an hour." But hey, you know, it's a good thing for us. And what was I going to say? Oh, have you seen any of this after someone's colored it?
No.
Oh, you haven't seen any yet?
No.
Oh.
No, I've done some of those.
You've colored. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But I haven't seen it. I mean, it just came out last week.
Oh, it did? Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, so I haven't seen – I would love to see the coloring work that people do with it.
Where is it being sold?
On Amazon.
On Amazon? Any stores?
It's going to be in Copperfields, both here and in Petaluma.
Oh, great. And then it will be at Bijou, of course.
Yes.
Well, this is a great gift. Are you going to be selling crayons or colored pencils with it?
Well, you know, I thought about doing that.
Should.
And so, yeah, maybe I will.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking, and the one I want to do, and it's probably much too complicated, I want a packet of colored pencils to be sold along with it.
Yeah.
But that would require a publisher with an imagination. I don't know if those exist these days. Okay, so let's talk about the mechanics of it. These take place in people's homes. And 10 to 5 is for Bijou. How about?
Our show is from 11 to 5.
11 to 5, okay. Let's start with you, Abby.
Okay.
Where does it takes place?
I'm on Florence Avenue, right?
It's your house?
Yes, it's at my house. And my weaving studio is at the front of the house. I'm on the famous Sculpture Street. Many people know it by the Patrick Amiot sculptures. And I'm right in the center of the street there.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's the sculpture in your house?
I have a waitress carrying a lot of food.
Cool.
Yeah.
And who else will be participating? Oh, there's the card.
Yes. Once again, for the past 6 or 7 years, Chris Boyd, the potter, will be with me. And Shelley Ray, a wonderful jeweler. She does precious metal and cast metal and just gorgeous stuff. Leslie Zumwalt, it'll be Leslie's first year. Leslie has Frame of Mind Framer in Forestville, but she's also a wonderful assemblage artist. She gets leaves and pods and puts them together in beautiful ways, and then, of course, she frames them beautifully. Also, having the art of the late John Nicolini, who was a Bay Area artist. He died last year in his 90s, and he was a fabulous graphic designer and also a fine art painter. And his wife and daughter will be presenting his work. It's work he's done his whole life, and it's really gorgeous. And there'll be paintings, prints, and cards. And then also new this year is Full Bloom Flower Farm, and that's organic flowers.
Are they from Petaluma? Oh, no, Greaton.
They're in Greaton.
Greaton, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a young woman named Hedda Brostrom, and she started this organic flower farm mm-hmm. a couple of years ago, and she does the most gorgeous, colorful wreaths. She's known for her brightly colored flower bouquets and wreaths, and also she has herbal products that she makes mm-hmm. from her flowers. So that's the lineup. Oh, and myself. I'm a weaver.
You're a weaver, yes.
Yes. I make clothing, blankets, pillows, and mm-hmm. So it'll be a pretty colorful show.
Yeah, and you go for both days, Saturday and Sunday.
That's right.
And you guys all bring nibbles.
We do. We all bring really delicious food and beverages to mm-hmm. share. So it's a party.
Mm-hmm. And how, over a two-day period, how many people do you think pass through?
I would say we get at least 100 a day, sometimes more, depending on the weather. Uh-huh. And it comes in waves.
Sure, of course. Yeah. And how long in advance do you have to prepare? When do you start making things for the fair?
I weave all year long. Mm-hmm. I do art trails in October. So I'm just weaving all year long. And then around August, I start talking to the other artists, see if they want to come back. And if they don't, you know, find new people to participate. And I try to get a variety of things that people might want to see. And So I start preparing in August in earnest for the show.
Cool. And then, Barbara, it's at your house, right?
It is.
It is.
We literally are just within walking distance from Abby's. Yeah. We're on Harrison Street, which is where Rotten Robbie Gas Station is, our claim to fame. But it's an easy walk. It's just a few blocks. So it's really convenient for both of us to have the open studios. And we've both done them for a number of years. And so I have my jewelry. I make jewelry out of recycled junk. Primarily, I go to Bateo Salvage and pick stuff up from the driveway and have a lot of fun just making. When Gary was talking about his coloring book for adults, it occurred to me that, you know, you make choices when you have a crayon or a colored pencil. So that's such a wonderful thing to be able to do in one's life is to make choices, right? So even if it's a coloring book and you're limited to a palette, I think that one of the most important things that I do as an artist is I get to make choices from the things that I collect. Mm-hmm. And it's really a great gift for me. So that's what I do. I make jewelry, primarily necklaces and earrings from recycled materials. And then Pat, on the other hand, makes her beads. Most of all her beads and her beautiful beaded bracelets and now necklaces are handmade. So that's rather than purchasing beads, they're made by hand.
That's you, Pat.
That's me.
Yes.
Yeah, in the past few years, I've gotten more interested in making my own beads out of polymer clay.
Oh.
And, more than buying them. So I'm having fun doing that. I'm interested in architectural forms and what's this stuff called?
Etching.
Kind etching.
Of, yeah. Etching.
Etching. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you just lift it. Did you make what you're wearing?
Everything I have on.
Wow, really gorgeous.
Thank you.
She has quite a following.
I remember your stuff from you, because you've been there years past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Barbara.
I remember your stuff.
Yeah, thanks.
Very much so.
Well, we got to move from the house to the now garage, it's a little bit larger, so we have a little more space.
Yeah, that
people.
Was last year when you moved there, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's great.
Okay, and then back over here, Naomi. Are you also the one who worked with, I don't know what they're called, through the things you put in shoes to keep them in shape?
Oh, the last.
Oh, no, that's Paula.
Oh,
the author.
Okay.
So Paula will have some of those, but she's doing clocks, and she's also doing boxes made from rolled magazines, magazine art. I've seen it. It's hard to describe.
Just rolled up little piece of paper.
Yeah, and she's made wonderful boxes, and also she's a fabulous painter, and she's done miniature paintings that are affordable. What else is she doing?
Are you collaborating this year?
Yeah. Oh, yes. We're doing a monkey project because it's the year of the monkey. So I've made some monkeys, and I had her paint the monkeys.
Oh.
So I have no idea what she's done with these monkeys.
What material?
Well, I make them out of clay.
Okay.
And then I fired, and then I've given them to her piecemeal. Okay, I've got another monkey for you, and so whatever she's going to do with them, I don't know what she's going to do with them. And
I loved her shoe things,
the shoe lasts. Yeah,
they were wonderful. Yeah. I don't know if I might not have gotten any because I wanted them all and I couldn't decide, but they were really interesting. So, do you work entirely in clay?
Yes, okay. I do, and I'll have some coil pots, fired coil pots, and I'll also have those mirror frames, and the monkeys, and we'll see what else. In the next 2 weeks, I come up with.
Okay. Yeah. Can we talk a little bit more about my shoe?
Yes.
Partly, I just want another story behind it. The inspiration.
Well, I've been doing Day of the Dead stuff for, when I taught at L.C. Allen High School and Cook Middle School, we always did the Day of the Dead project.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been an interest of mine. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how that happened with the shoe, but I just started making a shoe, and then it was, I'd been doing Copperfield's books in Sebastopol, the window there, with with a whole bunch of people over the years.
I remember, because I saw Copperfield's was closed. Mm-hmm. I saw the shoe, you know, my nose pressed up against them. It's like, oh my gosh, the shoe. And then there it was.
I did a few of them for the... For the window display, and then I thought, well, I'll bring it to Bijou,
And there I was,
and there it was,
and I didn't buy both of them because I thought, you know, they're not going to go on my feet, so I don't really have to have two, and I can let someone else have the other one, and you know, I'd love to know who got it, but you know, it's just really beautiful. We're going to take a little local music break, and we'll be right back here on Mouthful.
Thanks very much. I'd like to, at this time, invite Don Lang to come up and join us. We go through songs together. It's all Roz and Howard Larman's fault, you see. We got on the radio show together and ended up singing a couple tunes, and now we're going to go out.
Yes, sir. Sonny and Cher.
Guess who's who.
By the banks of the river, where the willows hang down, and the wild birds all warble with a high lonesome sound, down in some to the lies that you told.
And if the young men were blackbirds, the young men were thrushes, I would lay by the hours in the cold rainy marshes. Young men were squirrels with high bushy tails. Fill up my shotgun with rock salt and nails. Lord, I lie here each night
to sing. Too lonesome to cry.
We're talking about upcoming open house and holiday sales taking place in Sebastopol December 5th and 6th. Bijou is 10 to 5. That is at 583 Harrison Street. And then Holiday on Florence. And how can you miss Florence with all that fabulous sculpture? It is from 11 to 5, and it is 343 Florence Avenue. And it really is easy walking distance. Very easy walking distance. I remember not being sure where Harrison was, and I left my house and started walking. It's a lot further from my house than I expected. But it's a great walk. It's a really great walk. For me, it's probably about a mile and a half. But I had Joey. Joey was just with me for the first, it was the first year that I had Joey. And so we went on a nice long walk. It was great. Okay, so food. People bring things.
People bring things.
And
savory, sweet, and, you know, people pull out all the stops. I was actually thinking today I might make some rucola.
Oh, nice.
Or maybe some spanakopita.
Uh-huh.
Because those are always fun things to eat. Very party, good rucola. Party food.
God, I remember when I worked in a restaurant and somebody brought in rucola twice a week.
There's nothing
so
like it.
So good. Mm. So good. Do you put chocolate in yours?
I've never made it. I will put chocolate
never,
in it. No.
Oh.
I like to experiment.
Oh, okay. Yeah, somebody brought some chocolate arugula onto Mouthful. And I actually prefer the kind with just brown sugar and maybe raisins and stuff.
Some
chocolate by itself.
Mm.
You know. That's me. What about up on
Well, we all bring things too, but we have our claim to fame is the scent and the wonderful flavor of hot cider. Mm-hmm. So we make sure we have something warm for people because it's often very cold.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the weather's going to be like, but hopefully it rains the day before and the day after our things. But yes, and we all bring nibbles and snacks and hors d'oeuvres and
homemade
things.
Homemade
cookies. Pat's famous for that. Naomi's
what kind
husband.
Of cookies do you like to make?
Oh, chocolate chip. But I'm going to do shortbread this year too. I'm going to do a savory shortbread with rosemary, I think.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And if it's nice out, we have a lovely patio for people to enjoy being outdoors, too.
Uh-huh.
Good.
So what do you do when it's over?
We open a bottle of wine.
We drink.
Yeah, we just kind of melt down because we're there most of all both days.
Yeah, and plus you've had to be working for weeks.
Oh, yeah, for months. And talking with people, you know, it is a party, and it's a lot of fun. And even if people, you know, aren't interested in purchasing, that's just delightful to enjoy being with them and mm-hmm. feedback. And it is a party, and a lot of people have not come before. This is their first time, mm-hmm. so it's a good way for them to become familiar with what, as you say, is the alternative to malls and mass produced items. Yeah, because our things are very unique.
They're unique, and there's just, I mean, I've discovered so much wonderful stuff and spent way too much money.
It's mostly a social event.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember Joey was very social that first year after that really long walk.
Oh, yeah.
Joey came in and deposited his appreciation right in the middle of the
room.
For a
gift he was going to pick up later, right?
Well, no. Yeah, it is a lot of fun. It's a joyous event. It's the holidays, for one thing. It's mm-hmm. a kickoff to the holidays, but it's just so encouraging to know that people are interested in seeing what's available being handmade. Mm-hmm. As handmade
and then
goods.
Are you? Do you all have different ways to be out there at other times of years? Other times of the year?
I do Art at the Source.
Okay.
So my studio is open in June with the Sebastopol Center for the Arts. Then I sell things at Lawrence Gallery in Occidental. My jewelry's there,
uh-huh.
too.
Cool. What about the rest of you?
I'm in a show in Borrego Springs in the spring. Mm-hmm. And it's a ceramics and glass show.
Mm-hmm.
And then Barbara and I are doing a show.
Oh yeah, we are at the Yellow Duck, the Pie Eyed Gallery that is hosting Ellen Cheek and Joyce LeBeau and Jeremy Joan Hughes, and I think there's a fourth person. That's the weekend after Thanksgiving down on 116, which is Patrick Amio's studio.
Oh, that, I knew yeah. where it was.
And we're yes. going to be, Naomi and I are going to do that location in the fall of 2016. So we'll be there in September. So that'd be fun.
So there's going to be a show. When is
the holiday show that okay. that Abby referred to? The weekend after of the day after Thanksgiving
okay.
is at that same place.
At that
it's
place.
Called Pie Eyed Gallery
with many of the same artists.
Mm-hmm.
Lori Lux Studio and Marty Storm Studio are hosting, and mm-hmm. they'll all have guest artists. I'll be there. Ellen Cheek will be there. Joyce LeBeau.
Mm-hmm.
And many other artists.
So that kind of kicks off.
And Nietzsche Marcus's studio, she'll have uh-huh. guest artists too. So
oh,
it's
sure.
a big
oh,
enclave of uh-huh. artists that weekend.
Uh-huh. And I'm actually doing something that weekend too. On the day after Thanksgiving, I'm going to be at Worth Our Weight Culinary Apprenticeship Program. We're doing a Good Cooks Holiday Bazaar.
Oh,
so I will have my books there. And Evelyn and her apprentices are going to be making things, you know, jams, jellies, that kinds of things. And I'm going to be making, I'll have, I think, two types of shrub, Hawaiian chili water, and my gamaccio, which for some reason I think it's really easy to make, but a lot of people don't. They like to buy it. So I'm going to be making a bunch of gamaccio. And I just got the last of my... green chilies. Do you know what Hawaiian chili water is?
No, I don't know what gamaccio is either.
Oh, I'll explain both. Hawaiian chili, you know, Hawaiian food is not hot. But sometimes if you get to a real true Hawaiian lunch place, like little cafes, and you see them all over the place, and they look nondescript, but they are sometimes some of the best food in Hawaii. And they'll often have on the table a bottle, usually with a shaker top, and there might be one or two chili peppers in it and a piece of garlic. And you see people putting it on their poi, on their rice, on their kalua pig, and it is really good. I love it, and it's really easy to make. And
what else is in it?
What you do is you put in a peeled clove of garlic. And then it depends on the size of the bottle. I'll try to put in colorful peppers, several different types of hot peppers. A teaspoon, depending on the size of the bottle, anywhere between a teaspoon and a tablespoon of white vinegar, a teaspoon of Hawaiian salt, and water.
So you sprinkle it. You sprinkle it,
you
on,
sprinkle
your
it on your foot. And you let it sit for 5 or 6 days before you use it. And it is It's remarkably flavorful for the mundaneness of those ingredients. It's just wonderful. I get when I have it, I'm out of it right now. But oh, I like it on rice. I love it on poi. It just transforms poi. I'm one of the people who actually like poi. But anything like that, and I find myself putting it on pasta dishes and other things as well. But it's also, it's just beautiful to look at. And then gamaccio, and there's another name for it, and I always forget the other name. Gamaccio is the Japanese name. There's also an Asian name. It is toasted sesame seeds, and I usually do both black and white sesame seeds, organic. I toast them, and then I grind them slightly, not all the way down, but I grind them a little bit. And then it has toasted seaweed that's crumbled and crushed, and salt. And I make two kinds, so that's one kind, and then I take about a third of that, set it aside, and I put in some dried chili flake, some hot, you know, some sort of coarse chili flake to go with it, because some people like it, are used to it hot, some people aren't. And then I just put it in a little, I usually use a quarter-ounce jar, and it's great on vegetables, it's great on rice. It's an all-purpose seasoning in Japan, and then you see it, you'll see it for sale in Asian markets as well. And it's got I think a Chinese name that I can never put it in my head, but I like making it, and it's easy.
Sounds good.
And you can make a whole lot at once. So I'll be doing that, and then if things go as planned, we're going to have a polenta bar.
Oh.
At Worth Our Weight, we're going to have a polenta bar. So we'll just have I don't know maybe three, not slow cookers, more the professional kind. They're bigger, keep food hot. So we'll have three things of creamy polenta, and then a whole bar where you serve yourself a bowl of polenta, and then you can put olive oil and walnuts, maple syrup, and you can have savory, you can have sweet, you can have one, you can have 10 different toppings on it. And it's, you know, I did that when I was having 30 people for breakfast at my house at 7 in the morning, as students, and I thought, how can I do this? So I cooked polenta in a slow cooker overnight, and it turned out perfectly. And then I had all these different toppings for them, and they just served themselves. It's the easiest group breakfast I've ever done.
It sounds delicious.
Yeah, it does.
Just make your polenta with water, or do you make it with broth?
I don't believe you should make polenta with broth or milk.
Okay.
And the reason that I feel that way is to get the full flavor of the corn to blossom. You don't want any other flavors in the way. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to later add some stock in, add cream, you know, there's all different kinds of things. I just like to cook basic polenta first. And now we've got a couple of different farmers doing local polenta, which is so nice to have. So you've got an even bigger spectrum of flavors from locally grown. And then about two-thirds of the way through cooking, I add butter.
Mm. Sounds delicious.
I add butter, and then I almost always add some cheese as well. Just layer in those flavors. And then I prefer it savory, but a lot of people prefer it sweet, and that's fine. It's good, and it's easy.
I love Joe Matos cheese. That's the first thing that came to my mind with polenta.
Oh, Joe Matos cheese. Oh, absolutely. Great. I love that cheese. It's really good.
We're going to have that at Holiday on Florence.
Oh, good.
We have a block of Matos cheese.
Oh, wonderful. Great. And on that note, hi, everybody, chill out those appetites. We're going to hear a little more Kate Wolf.
When Emma Rose was 10 years old, her father passed away. She cried to think he'd never see her on her wedding day. And then her mother sickened and left her on her own, saying, Emma Rose, it grieves me to leave you so alone. How long will it be till you're returning? How long must I keep the candles burning? When Emma Rose was 16 years, she was courted and wed by Danny J, the neighbor boy, a fine young man, they said. And in the flowering of their love, Emma had a son. And Danny left one morning before the rising of the sun. How long will it be till you're returning? How long must I keep the candles burning? The years went by and Emma Rose grew bitter in her grief. Of all the men that came and went, none gave her any peace. And even age could not erase the beauty in her face. But Emma Rose had eyes for one who left without a trace. And tell me, how long will it be till you're returning? How long must I keep the candles burning? Emma lives alone now. Child is grown and gone. Some say they see her now and then on the day she goes to town. And if you're traveling north, there's a mailbox on the road, and all it says is Emma Rose in letters faint and old. How long will it be till you're returning? How long must I keep the candles burning?
And we're back. I had a real hankering all week to play that song, that Emma Rose song. In fact, I don't know, you all are from West County. Is there really a mailbox out there?
There was.
Do you know where it is?
No, it's not there anymore.
Does anyone have a picture of it? Do you know?
And, you know, that's a very sad song.
Yes.
And if you don't mind, my just a real quick anecdote.
Oh, please, no.
I remember that mailbox because I've been here 43 years. And we would, it was right on 116, right across from what's now O'Reilly. And my granddaughter, my youngest granddaughter's name is Emma Rose. So the day that she was born, I brought my daughter-in-law that song. And, you know, it's a very sad song. Yeah. She said, what are you doing? The kids, you know, she's only like 7 pounds. And anyway, but Emma Rose, there was a relationship with them because she saw that mailbox and knocked on the door and they became friends.
That's what I thought. I'd heard that.
Yeah.
God, I just really want a picture of that mailbox.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't have one. I know. But Roland might.
Oh.
Because he did a whole book about odd things. Rescued Buildings, it was called, because my trolley was in there. And then Native Funk and Flash, that book that he wrote.
Who is this?
Roland Giacopetti.
He did?
Yes. So he may have some access to that.
Huh. Okay, another hidden side of Roland. I had no idea.
No, yeah, that's that Native Funk and Flash was all the hippie clothes. How to make your own stuff out of jeans and very interesting.
Oh, well, that explains that store, Funk and Flash, in downtown. And what I didn't know is that's it's no relationship to Roland Giacopetti. It's Jeff Cox's son.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Oh,
yeah, it's Jeff Cox's son who did who does Funk and Flash. You know, there's just so many amazing things to discover about Sonoma County.
Oh, yeah.
I want to go back to the coloring book. And I want you to talk a little bit about your process.
Okay. I've been doing art for many, many years. And this particular, when I decided I wanted to do this coloring book, I started looking back through sketches that I've, in my sketchbook that I've been keeping for a long time. As a graphic designer, a freelancer, most of the work I've done has been through the through trying to promote somebody else's product. And it, like many graphic designers, it doesn't leave a lot of creative time for sure. your own stuff.
Yep.
And I've been wanting to do this for a long time. So one of the things that this coloring book serves as in addition to being a coloring book, is it's a display of my artwork. So I really enjoyed being able to explore my art and put it together in a way that they work together. Another way that this works as a book as many of the pieces in this book are visual puzzles. So people might enjoy that, trying to figure out what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
If you can imagine sitting in a room with two windows, and both windows seem like they're looking out on the same landscape, but they're different landscapes, yet they're part of the same landscape, and maybe the wall of the room that you're in is painted as a landscape. So as you look at it, you know, and it's a lot easier to do as in black and white lines. When you start adding color to it, that's when you can sort of bring out the differences between what's in the foreground, what's mm-hmm. in the background, what's a window, and what's a picture, and that sort of thing.
And you called it Layers of Reality.
Layers of Reality.
And the drawings are they're very layered, and I can just see that working and adding the color would just be so interesting with this.
The layers, when you add the color, you'll be able to see you bring out the layers.
Right, exactly.
It's kind of difficult to see the layers when uh-huh. you're just looking at it as in black and white, but that's why it's a puzzle.
Uh-huh. Have you colored any yet?
Yes, I have.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
You didn't bring any with you, did you?
No. Just the one on the cover.
Just the one on the cover.
Right.
And this is, it's a tree.
Yes.
Sitting on top of a dinner table. it's a tree sitting on top of a very large table where a whole lot of chefs are getting ready to plate up dessert for a very large crowd. How did I do?
Oh, very relevant.
You can interpret it that way.
I mean, that'd probably be part of the fun, is thinking about what it is.
Right.
And then watching it become something else as you color, because surely, as to some color. Degree, it will
right.
become something else.
Right. So are those circles, those ovals, are they part of the landscape, or are they clouds in back of the landscape?
Oh.
No.
Both.
Or are they lights in this ultra-modern room?
Mm.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's just, you know, this is what I... Get your friends and loved ones coloring books for Christmas.
Really?
Can't you just see on Christmas morning a bunch of adults just lying around in their jammies on the floor coloring? You know, what a peaceful world that would be. that's interesting. Butterfly. On a lotus flower.
Right.
Yeah, this is just really fun. Okay, we can all just be kids again. This reminds me sometimes when I'm really under crushing stress. I was like, this just isn't okay. I'll get out my jacks.
Oh.
I'll get out my jacks and I'll sit on my kitchen floor and I'll play jacks. I love jacks.
Oh.
I want to come play jacks with you.
Yeah.
I haven't done that in so many years.
I don't know. And paddle. What's the paddle ball? You know the paddle ball with.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then you can congratulate yourself when you really can pick them up.
That's not easy. Jacks are hard. Well, you have to be on the right surface.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really
a sidewalk.
It has to be on the right, but not one that's too bumpy.
Right.
My kitchen
True.
Floor. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Great. Why do we have to quit playing jacks just because we're grown ups?
We don't.
I didn't even know they still made them.
Yeah. I don't like the balls. But oh. I didn't like the balls that we got when we were kids either. Those like red balls, they don't bounce very well. I was always trying to find somebody with a golf ball because the golf ball was really good. And then there was one other ball, some sort of plastic that was a little smaller and a little harder. And that one was really good too. But I was always getting a different ball than the ones that came with your jacks.
And marbles, that was always so fun because it was so pretty.
I never quite knew what the game of marbles was.
It's like petanque or bocce, only tiny.
Oh, okay.
You just try and move
them. So you're just trying to move them.
Because you have a shooter, and then that's a bigger one, and then the smaller ones, and you just, you have an opponent, and you have to knock each other off.
The boys were always playing marbles. The girls were always playing jacks. Jacks or jump rope or tetherball. I never quite got to the marbles.
Hopscotch.
Hopscotch.
Oh,
I love hopscotch.
That was fun.
Hopscotch, it still is. Every now and then I'll, especially if you're walking down the street and somebody's drawn one. Never pass that
flashback.
Up. and there's one other. Foursquare.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Love
but the songs with the jump rope, the sing-songy rhymes, and some of them were very cultural, and especially from the South.
Yeah,
almost
jump rope.
Jump rope. Yeah, jump. No, I'm thinking. Well,
especially
I'm just kinda,
double Dutch.
Yes,
there was always a song with double Dutch.
That was really
There's
challenging.
There's a national competition.
There is
jump rope.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know when it is, but I think it's televised.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Naomi, can we just mention your student who will be showing up?
Oh, right, yes. So Sochi
student.
Nava is joining us this
What's
year.
What's her name?
Sochil Nava. And she was a former ceramic student of mine at L.C. Allen High School.
Oh.
This was about 12, 13 years ago. And she was my best potter. And we continue to be friends, and she comes to my studio and she works, and she'll have some bowls there, beautiful bowls.
Great.
She's a gorgeous potter, and she also will be doing some table napkins and aprons and tablecloths. And she's
nice.
Very clever.
Uh-huh.
Very clever girl.
Good. It's nice to have a young, up-and-coming artist with
them. Now, where is your studio?
My studio is in Sebastopol.
And whereabouts?
Right up the street from Dee's Diner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right across from me, almost. I can see your tree.
Stone's throw.
So this
Barbara.
Is all just a little, little West County group here. Mm-hmm. And Pat, what about you? Where's your studio?
Oh, out of my home. I live off of Guerneville Road, right near the Laguna.
Oh, okay.
So, in the trees.
Yes.
Right now in the cold trees.
Yeah. And Gary, where are you based?
I'm on Burnside Road in Sebastopol.
Okay. That's right. I knew that. Only because you guys were talking about getting here today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we've got just a few more minutes, and I want to make sure I get everyone mentioning the other places where their things will be available. Pat, we talked about that a little bit with you.
No.
Things, okay. Where does one find your stuff if one doesn't get to Bijou?
Well, I live in Mexico for part of the year, so I sell down there.
So where in Mexico?
In a little town called Todos Santos. It's in Baja.
I know Todos Santos very well.
Oh, you do? Oh, it's a great place.
In fact, my last day in Todos Santos was the day that they were building the trailer park.
That was a long time
ago. This was in 1986.
I'd
been down there. I went to see my best friend Julieta and her husband at the time, and they had this surprise for me. She had bought a house in Todos Santos.
Uh-huh.
So instead of camping or whatever we were going to do, we had this little house and didn't really have much running water, and it had an outhouse. So one or two nights we went into the town square and stayed in the big hotel. That was quite a treat. But the day that we left, they were building that, and it was going to have the first satellite dish, and the first taco cart came to town, because when we were there, it was so isolated that there wasn't even a taco cart.
Yeah. Well, everybody's got cell phones now.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't even have telephones, so you'd have to, in order to meet up with people, you'd actually have to go to their house and visit.
That's pretty amazing. Okay, and then let's see, back over to you, Naomi. You mentioned a couple places where you sell things. Is it Barbara? Is that the two of you who are going to be doing something?
Yes, the same at the Pie Eye. That won't
That's
be until
right,
September of 2016.
Oh, okay.
And then I
okay.
sell at Lawrence Gallery in Occidental.
Okay. And I know you do other things throughout the year.
Yeah, throughout the year, my work is at Corex on
4th Street in Santa Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always at Osmosis Enzyme Bath Spa in their gift shop.
Oh, okay.
The
cool.
Grayton Gallery.
Grayton Gallery, wonderful place.
The Sebastopol Gallery. And Valley Ford Woolen Mill out in Valley Ford.
Love the Woolen Mill.
A lot of other fibers.
Uh-huh. So. Great. And let's see, the Layers of Reality coloring book will be available at Copperfields in both Sebastopol and Petaluma. Great. It will be available at Bijou. And
on Amazon.
Oh, that's right, on Amazon.
And if you go to the book has a Facebook page. If you go to Facebook at Layers of Reality Book.
Well, I will put a link to that on Mouthful's Facebook page.
Then I can announcements where
it's going to be
in other places.
Okay, great.
It'll be on there.
And you're going to do another one.
Yes.
Do you have a theme that you can reveal?
It's the working title right now is Layers of Unreality.
Ah, okay. I can imagine that. And on that note, let's give the details one more time, and we are out of here. The open house and holiday sale, Bijou, December 5th and 6th, that's Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 5 at 583 Harrison Street, and then Holiday on Florence, December 5th and 6th, 11 to 5 at 343 Florence Avenue. That is Abby Bard's Weaving Studio. With luck, I will be there on Sunday selling my books, and I'm going to bring something really good to eat. If it's cold, I'm going to make a soup. Because I love making soups. I love making soups, and I love making soups for lots of people. So as long as I have books to sell, knock on wood, I will be there. But
fantastic.
I will be coming by as well. And then come see me and Evelyn Cheatham next Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, for Worth Our Weights and the Good Cooks Holiday Bazaar. And while I'm at it, just...
And where is that?
Oh, that is at Worth Our Weight, which is right across the street from Montgomery Village, Montgomery High School, sort of behind the back of Gary Chu's Osake, Hammond Drive. Mm-hmm. Hammond Drive, right next to the Boys and Girls Club. And then...
what are the hours of that, Michelle?
Oh, nine to two.
Sounds
so you can
great.
Get yourself some nice... step up to the polenta bar.
That's
eat some nice creamy polenta while you shop. And then also on that day, I'm doing everything I can to keep you out of malls. the day after Thanksgiving from 11 to 5 at DeVero, 766 West Side Road in Hillsburg, they are having their day after Thanksgiving party with pizza from the wood-burning oven. You can taste and buy their... Olio Nuovo, and have a great time. Meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful. Take care of yourself and have a great Thanksgiving.